The subject of this passage is quite obvious, and that is Jesus Christ is the bread of life. The key verse in this fairly long passage is verse 35, where Jesus says to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Last week, while on vacation, I saw a clip on the internet where a millennial Christian summarized today's passage in one sentence. He said, "If you don't believe in Jesus as your bread of life, you'll end up toast." That may not be the language we use in historic Christianity, but he certainly summarized this passage extremely well. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your bread of life, you will end up toast. In essence, what he was saying is that if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to end up burning in hell. So his exhortation, John's exhortation, Jesus' exhortation, and my exhortation today is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will be given abundant life in this life and eternal life in the future. So what's the purpose of this sermon? That you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to examine what does it mean to believe. The whole Gospel of John is about faith, about believing in Christ. John 20, 30 to 31, and Pastor Ben and I have referred to this many times in our study. The purpose of the book. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Now the signs that are recorded in the Gospel of John is the purpose of them is for us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The bread of life that Jesus declares that he is given to us to help us believe in him. The bread of life. Now, I'm going to back up a bit and review the background of this passage as to why did Jesus say he was the bread of life? Well, the sixth chapter of John is about bread. It begins with a miracle, a sign that Jesus performed for a crowd of over 5,000 in the northern region of Galilee, near the town of Bethsaida. It was here that Jesus multiplied 5 barley loaves and 2 fish so that all 5,000 ate their fill of bread with some left over. As we learned from our study of John, signs were performed to point people to God. So the point of the sign was not so much in meeting the physical need of people, but revealing that the one performing the sign or signs was the Son of God, who wanted people to believe in him as their Messiah, their Lord and Savior. Jason spoke in Sunday school today about the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is seen in redemption. God wants sinners to be saved from his wrath. That's good. And God has provided a way for sinners to be saved eternally. And that's through his Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross, taking our sins upon himself, paying the price, the debt, taking the wrath of God upon himself so that our debts would be forgiven, that our relationship with God would be reconciled. He was condemned to hell on the cross so that we would not. Trusting in the sign giver is the key. It sounds as though the crowd understood that the sign pointed beyond just eating bread and fish. Because in verse 14, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. It sounds like they got it. But in verse 15, we see that they hadn't. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take Jesus by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Something didn't add up here. They were following Jesus. I mean, Bethsaida is about 4 miles away from Capernaum. And these people had been fed. 5,000 had been fed bread and fish. They came the next day to Capernaum seeking Jesus again, seeking another sign, seeking more bread. So they were following him. And yet, why were they following him? What were they believing in? That God could supply all their need, or were they believing in God himself? Oftentimes in prayer, we ask for God's hand to bless us, but we don't ask for God's heart. So our motivation is, I have this problem. God, can you solve this problem for me? Can you provide for me? I have this felt need. Can you address it? Can you satisfy this need? And then when he does, he's forgotten. And then when the next need comes along and it's not answered, the prayer is not answered, it's almost like, well, God, what have you done for me lately? Something's not sitting right here. Jesus exposes their motivation. And it's here at Capernaum that he reveals to them that it's not so much the sign that's important. It's the sign giver. Because the sign giver is the bread of life. I ask myself, looking at this passage, why is it that they didn't believe? I mean, here you have a multitude of people seeking Jesus in Bethsaida. He's been teaching them the Word of God. He is God. He's teaching them truth. He looks out over the crowd and he sees that they've been there for a while and that they need food. So he has them sit down. And he feeds 5,000 people. Imagine you being there, sitting down and seeing the disciples continually passing out loaves of bread. Where's he getting this from? No, the loaves weren't stored in a cave like the liberals say. Jesus was miraculously producing this bread and his disciples were distributing it. And there you are, hungry, sitting in a small group, and you see the people in front of you getting these loaves of bread, and you're saying, man, I hope there's enough for me. Man, I am really starving. My wife that's with me, she needs to eat. And my kids. There's 5,000 in the crowd, but that wasn't the total number. Because they kept records, it was 5,000 men. Well, what about others that came? So the miracle, the sign, is much greater than we even see here with the numbers. So you're watching the bread. You're seeing people breaking it apart and eating it. Fresh bread. And finally it comes to you. And you have enough. How many loaves you need? Well, one for each of it. Okay. Where'd this come from? It came from Jesus. Do we need to pay for anything? No. Well, this is great. Here we are, hearing the Word of God, seeing God in Christ Jesus, witnessing a miracle, and benefiting from this miracle. And boy, is this bread good. And yet the Scripture says they did not believe. Very interesting. They did not believe. In fact, the text says they wanted more signs. They wanted more. Verse 27, do not labor. And Jesus addresses them. Because apparently the feeding of the 5,000 was not good enough for them to believe in him. So he speaks to them. Do not labor for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. The food that endures to eternal life is given by the Son of God. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. God has authenticated his Son as God, as the giver of life, as the Redeemer. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God. Here's what you got to do. Believe in him whom God has sent. What do I have to do to be saved? What good deed must I do to be saved? How can I earn God's favor? How many deeds do I have to do? All of these things swirl in our minds. We want to get right with God by our own actions. Look what I did for you, Lord. Now you owe me something. God is indebted to us in that mentality. I did this for you, God. Now you should answer all my prayers. I did this for you, God, for years. You should guarantee that I'll never get sick. You should guarantee that I'll be prosperous. Look at all that I have done. And Jesus destroys that argument with, here's the work. You want to do the work of God? Believe. Believe in him, Jesus Christ, whom God the Father has sent. Verse 30, so they said to him, then what sign do you do? Think about it. What you just experienced the day before. And it's like, okay, Jesus, now what are you going to do? We're not going to believe unless you do another sign. Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, and he corrects them here, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. It's Jesus Christ. So it's in this context that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. I am the bread of life. This is the first of seven I am sayings recorded by John. I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the light of the world, John 8:12, 9:5. I am the door, John 10:7-9. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11-14. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me, John 14:6. I am the true vine, John 15:1. These I am sayings are revelations from God to help people understand who God is and why we should believe in Him. Now, it's obvious that Jesus is using the image of bread, an image that everybody was familiar with. Why bread? Well, bread is necessary for life. In our day, bread is not viewed as a staple the way it was back then. In fact, for the carb counters, bread is a no-no today. Don't eat bread. Too many carbs. It'll raise your triglyceride level. Bad for you. But in ancient days, without bread, people died. Bread was that important. When Jesus revealed himself as the bread of life, he was telling people that they could not do without him. If they wanted the abundant life that God provides now, and if they wanted the eternal life God provides in the future, they must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or they would perish. So many people focus on their physical needs, thinking that if they satisfy their physical needs, they will automatically satisfy their spiritual needs. That's just not true. Many who have had their physical needs met are weak and anemic spiritually. Why? Because they fail to feed on Christ. They're eating the fast food, the junk food offered by the world, rather than feeding on the bread of life. People back then really understood the necessity of bread. And Jesus, when he says, I am the bread of life, they understood that bread is the essence of life. If you don't have it, you're going to die. Jesus taught them to pray, give us this day our daily bread, because he knew that we need bread daily. We need to feed on Christ daily. It's not 2 hours on a Sunday morning and that's enough. Let me get back to my real job. We need to feed on Christ all the time. Failure to feed on Christ stunts your growth. You will never mature as a Christian if you do not feed on Jesus Christ. He supplies the nourishment. He supplies the strength. You know, it's interesting to go on vacation with the grandkids and some others and hear the moms talk about what percentile their child is. I have no idea what that means, but everybody's talking about, well, he's in the 95th percentile. In height, or his head size is 75%. What does all of that mean? You look at Liam Quinn and you see he's in the 150th percentile when it comes to height. Growth. Spiritual growth comes as one feeds on the bread of life. And those who do not believe in Jesus, life will end up toast. Jesus answers the question, how can all these people who have benefited from this sign not believe? Verses 35 through 40, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This passage is 5 or 6 verses here are loaded with doctrine, doctrines of grace. Mankind is totally depraved. He won't come to God on his own. Mankind is unable to save himself, unable to believe in Christ. We see unconditional election here. People are saved because God chooses to save them. We see limited atonement. Not everyone will be saved. We see irresistible grace, that when God elects to save someone, they cannot resist his grace. We see in verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. We see the doctrine of the perseverance of saints, or God's preservation of the elect, in verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Salvation is from God alone. We're not saved by works. Jesus already taught us we're saved by faith alone. How is it that so many in the crowd who saw Jesus, heard Jesus, ate the bread that Jesus provided, how is it that they did not believe in Christ? God had not moved in their hearts. That's hard for many people to accept. But this is what the Scripture's teaching. There are people who have eyes but can't see. There are people who have ears but can't hear. There are people who will sit and listen to a sermon as Jesus had preached to the multitude and not get it. Why not? Were they hearing impaired? Not physically, but they were spiritually. They didn't get it. They saw Jesus and they saw the bread coming, and they didn't get it that he's the one. He's the one that's providing. They see it, but they don't see. Their mind hears all these words, but they don't comprehend what the message is. God has not done a work in their hearts to enable them to do that. They are blinded by sin. They will open the Scriptures and their eyes are moving through the text, but it's not registering. There's not a desire to want to, what is God saying to me? They see people being saved. They see people being baptized. Well, that's good for them, but let's see where they're going to be in a year from now. Why do people think that way? Passive reading, passive seeing is the condition that we're in before God opens our eyes and opens our ears and opens our hearts. Because when He works that way, our minds become engaged with God. And we understand the truth of, I am a sinner. I'm convicted of my sin and my shortcoming. I'm convicted of the fact that I don't know how to deal with this. And the light goes on. The Scriptures come alive. I can see. I could see the need for a Savior. I could see the need for salvation. I could see the need for repentance. I get it. And God does a work in their hearts. And they're saying, you know, I don't know how many times I read that Bible and I never got anything out of it, but now it's jumping off the page. I can't put the book down. I just don't go through the motions of reading, well, 3 chapters every day, so I get it through, get through the Bible reading in a year. It's like, I got through one verse today. And God spoke to me in such a powerful way, His Holy Spirit, about eating Christ, eating the bread of life. The Jews are saying in this passage, what's he teaching, cannibalism here? They didn't get it. Jesus is talking about faith. Taking the bread of life, taking the bread of God's word. Think about eating food, eating bread. You have to take it internally. You have to digest it. This is what meditation is about. You just can't look at a loaf of bread and say, okay, I saw Jesus. I partook of Jesus. I'm a Christian. Has anything happened inside? That's what Jesus means by I am the bread of life. If you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, faith, if I integrate you into my heart, if I continue to move in the direction that the Holy Spirit is moving in me, I have this hunger and thirst to be with Jesus. I love to read His Word. I'd rather read His Word than other books. And not just because I have to do it to meet some goal, but this is my life. I can't get enough of Jesus. There are conferences. I see Pastor has one on his board. Conferences that we encourage people to go to. Philadelphia Conference on Reformation Theology. It's all day Friday, Friday night, all day Saturday, and Saturday night. One message after another. And I'll invite people and say, there's no way I could sit through that. That's just too much. How is the Word of God too much? How is the proclamation of God's Word too much? Well, we're quick to say, faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God, but I don't have time to hear. Why not? Because other things are more important. And then I don't have much of a prayer life. I don't have a whole lot of faith that God can do the impossible. I pray, but God doesn't answer my prayers. I've been praying for my relative and he never came to faith in Jesus Christ. So why bother anymore? You know, all of this stuff, because we're weak in faith. We look at the physical and at the obstacles and we see them as monumental, and we don't trust that Jesus can blow away those obstacles and move us forward. Why? Because we trust in what we can see. We trust in ourselves. We trust in our thinking rather than trusting in God. And as a result, we don't have the abundant life. We're burdened by worry. We have uncertainty about the next life. Are you going to heaven when you pass on? I sure hope so. I did this, 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 and this. I hope I measure up. Rather than, I don't fear death. I fear dying, but I don't fear death, is how many people who have this strong faith in God will look at you on their deathbed and say, I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going. Other people walk out, or staff walk out of the room shaking their heads. Well, I hope he was a good man. I hope he does get to heaven. When you don't feed on Christ, when you don't feed on His Word, when you can't see and you can't hear and you can't comprehend, you're in a horrible place. A horrible place. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We may not be thinking this way, but allow me to say this. God brought you here this morning for a reason. It's not just a habit. Well, this is Sunday morning. That's blocked out on the calendar. And I'm going to come to church. God brought you here because He wants to speak to you and has spoken to you from His Word. He wants you to believe in Him so that you have life here in this world and eternal life. He brought you here to provide a feast for you, the Word of God. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word spoken of God. God has brought you here so that your faith will be strengthened for this day that we live in. Difficult times. And you're seeing people really overcome with worry, with negativity, with hopelessness. They have hunger. They're hungry for something which really is God, but they don't see that, and they try to satisfy their hunger through the things of the world. How many cars can I have? How many TVs can I have? How many smartphones? All of these things. I'm hungry. The woman at the well, five men. She's hungry for something. She's thirsting. We have young people that are trying to find their way. They're hungering and thirsting. And when their hunger isn't satisfied and their thirst isn't quenched, they're in bad shape. They're in trouble. They need the bread of life. We need the bread of life. Only the bread of life, only Jesus can satisfy my soul. That's the message that Jesus is proclaiming and the message that we have to get out. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. If we do not believe that Jesus is our bread of life, we're toast. How about you? You've been brought here today. God has spoken. You've read His Word. The Holy Spirit is bringing that Word into your mind and into your heart. Because God wants to save you. God wants you to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And when you do, you will have life. Life eternal. That's why He's brought you here. He's come to strengthen you. He brought you here to strengthen your faith. To be able to deal with whatever's coming down the pike. He's come here to give you hope. Hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to satisfy your soul with peace. So there's not this longing. There's not this restlessness. There's not this, you know, I just had two weeks of vacation. It was great, but oh, now I have to do this, and I can't wait for another vacation, and I can't wait to go here, and I can't wait to go there, and football season's starting up, and everything is good. And it's, you're going from one thing to another, trying to find purpose and meaning and satisfaction in life, joy, peace, and it seems to evaporate. The event is over. And what do I have left? Jesus Christ is not an event. He is a person. He is the bread of life that satisfies your soul each and every day and throughout eternity. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will have life. Let us pray. Father God, there